I remember one of the best known, most successful business leaders in Southern California once told me, he said, Rick, you need to tell people the best time to start tithing is when they're in debt. I said, why? He said, because that's when they need the most help. Whatever you want God to bless in your life, you put him first in. You want God to bless your business? Put him first in your business. You want God to bless your marriage? Put him first in your marriage. You want God to bless your family? Put him first in your family. You want God to bless your finances? Put him first in your finances. You want God to bless your time? Put him first in your time. Whatever you put God first in, that's what he blesses.
Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today we continue in our series called When You're Hoping for a Miracle. In it, Rick shows us from God's Word that when it comes to living with more love, peace, patience, and self-control, we should never lose hope. That's because God loves us and has great things planned for our lives. Stay with us. Now in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a book called God's Power to Change Your Life. This book by Pastor Rick Warren is perfect for anyone who feels stuck and unable to make real and lasting change. You can text the word DAILY to 99000 while you listen to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called When You're Drowning in Debt.
Tithing and saving are the twin pillars of financial freedom, along with a few others that we're going to look at. Now, tithe means 10. It doesn't mean 8 or 12, or it means 10%. And God says the first 10% of what I make goes back to him. Why? Well, God obviously doesn't need your money. I mean, he doesn't need it. So why does he do it? It's for my sake, not for his sake. It's to teach me three things. It's to teach me to be grateful for the past. It's to teach me to have God as my number one priority in the present. And it's to teach me to trust him for the future. And he's saying, put your money where your mouth is. Are you grateful for all I've given you? Am I really number one in your life? Do you trust me with the future? Then he says, tithe. I saw a bumper sticker there that said, tithe if you love Jesus. Any fool can honk. Well, it's true. Now, I realize that some of you, this is really hard for you because you grew up not doing this. I've tithed since I was a little kid. My parents taught me, so it wasn't a big deal for me. Others of you, it's hard for you. 10%, I can't live without 10%. Then you're in debt. That means you're living beyond your means. And so I do it not, God doesn't need my money, but I do it because I'm grateful. It shows I'm grateful that I wouldn't have anything if it weren't for God. And God, you're number one, so I give you the first part of my money, like you say, and I'm trusting you to take care of me in the future. That's called tithing. And then God says, here's the other twin discipline. At the same time, I expect you to save. You mean don't spend it all? Yeah. God says, I want you to save. And I want you to save for the reasons that I've given to you in your word. It's wise. You can't presume on the future. It shows discipline. It teaches you contentment. There are all kinds of good reasons for savings. In fact, about half of Jesus' parables that Jesus told have to do with money. And in those, he's always commending the wise investor. Investment is a good thing. Savings is a good thing. And God says, this is one of the twin disciplines that I want you to practice so you don't spend more than you've got. Now, if you can't tithe and you can't save, you're already spending too much. Notice these two verses, one about each. Malachi 3:8, the Bible says, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. You say, well, how do I do that? You say, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. Says, you're not giving me the part I told you to give back. And then look at the verse on spending, Proverbs 21:20. The wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. In other words, as soon as it comes in, it's going right out. And if I'm not tithing and I'm not saving, I'm already in the debt trap. Number four, unable to pay taxes. Unable to pay taxes. If you're having to borrow to pay taxes, then you're already in the debt trap.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or Instagram, go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. And click on his social media links. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. Again, that's PastorRick.com.
What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control. In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, Rick, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. Do you want to break free? Here's how. In the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. We would love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the book God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks.
Once again, here's Rick.
Proverbs 21:20. The wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. In other words, as soon as it comes in, it's going right out. And if I'm not tithing, I'm not saving, I'm already in the debt trap. Number four, unable to pay taxes. Unable to pay taxes. If you're having to borrow to pay taxes, then you're already in the debt trap. Now, the Bible tells us, Jesus said in Matthew 22:21, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. Caesar says, you know, you pay taxes. Taxes are the investment we pay on our freedom. Somebody protects us, like we just talked about the veterans earlier today. Somebody paves the road. Somebody provides an education. And taxes are just our investment on the future and our gratitude for what's already been done. Listen, I've been in a lot of places around the world. They don't have taxes, but they don't have freedom either. And they're stuck. And there are no roads and things like that. Unable to pay taxes. Number five, a fifth sign that you're in the debt trap is extravagant spending. Extravagant spending. When you buy things just because you've got the money to buy them, watch out. You need to ask, do I really need this? Do I have to have this? When you buy things just because you've got the money, just because you can, or when you overpay, you buy something, say, I know that's too much, but I can afford it. And you overpay just because you can. God says, you're headed for the debt trap. Notice this verse. Indulging in luxuries and wines and food will never make you wealthy. Now, this I need to park here for just a little bit because this is the season of the catalogs. Have you started getting them? You know what I'm talking about? Are they already coming? And at this time of year, they have to make up stuff to remind you you don't have it. You've already got more than you can need. And more than you can use, and more than you can wear. But they want you to buy more. And so they always remind you of all these things you don't have, and how did I ever get along without that? And a lot of these things are just luxuries. I mean, do you really need a $200 nose hair trimmer? And, you know, if you go on those in-flight magazines, and now I probably got a couple of magazines this week of new and novel gifts. That means stuff, junk for people who've got everything. And when somebody says, what do you want for Christmas? Well, I don't know. Then fine, you don't need anything. Okay? Who says you have to go out and just go, you know, buy some little trinket? And you know how hard it is to shop for some people? Everybody agree with that? Okay. That's a symbol that they don't really need anything. They don't, I mean, why just go out and, the Bible says, don't waste money on stuff you don't really need. Extravagant spending. And then number six, and this is a big sign, and you can see it all over Southern California, the people in the debt trap, always looking for get-rich-quick ideas. The Bible says it is a symptom of the debt trap. And over again in the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, the book of James in the New Testament, the book about practical wisdom, the books of practical wisdom. And it says there, don't get involved in get-rich-quick schemes. It said you're always going to get in trouble when you do that. Proverbs 21, verse 5 says this. Steady plodding brings prosperity. In other words, just consistent hard work. Just get a job, get a salary, you know, get something going. Steady plodding brings prosperity. Hasty speculation brings poverty. You see, the problem is when you get in debt, you are ripe for a ripoff. Because all kinds of ideas are, well, I know how to get out of debt really quick. And here's what you can do. And if you'll just do, and people often get in debt by living in a fantasy world. And they're always fantasizing about tomorrow instead of just doing normal savings, normal spending, normal earning. You know, it's like they've always got this big idea, waiting for the big deal to close. And it never closes. It's always a big deal. It's never just a little. It's always a big deal. Or I'm waiting for my ship to come in. Quit waiting for your ship to come in. Now, as I've gone over this list and these six things, some of you are going, yep, that's me, Rick. I'm that one, or I'm that one, or I'm that one, or I'm three or four of them all at once. And you think there is no way out. Well, there is. And that's the good news, that there is a way out. And God says, if you'll do it my way, you can get out of debt and you can stay out of debt permanently. Now, I want you to take notes on this because not only do you need it, but your friends need it. Everybody around needs it. You need to be able to share these with other people. Here are the steps to freedom. Number one, and this is the most difficult step of all, commit to becoming debt-free now. Commit to becoming debt-free. The Bible says in Psalm 37, the wicked borrow and do not repay. Now, you say, well, you know, why don't I just file bankruptcy and start over? The wicked borrow and do not repay. You say, but bankruptcy is legal. Yeah, it's legal, but it doesn't mean it's moral. It's not moral to stiff somebody of debt. I mean, there are a lot of things that are legal that believers shouldn't be doing simply because they're not moral. They're legal, but they're not moral. And God says, if you have a debt, you are to pay it off. It says the wicked don't repay their debts. And so you commit to becoming debt-free. It's not going to be easy. It's going to take commitment. It's going to take discipline. It's going to take perseverance. It's going to take character. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take delayed gratification. But if you commit to it, there is a way to get out of debt. And the Bible tells us that nobody just drifts out of debt. It's intentional. Now, if I were to ask how many of you would like to be out of debt, everybody would raise their hand. How many wish you were out of debt, you'd all raise your hand. But if I said how many of you will commit to getting out of debt, doing what it takes, that'd be a whole different issue. Because it's not easy. It's simple. It's very simple to get out of debt, but it's not easy. It's very difficult. You commit to becoming debt-free. Okay, principle number two. These are right out of God's word. I start paying God and myself first. Start paying God and myself first. These are the principles of tithing and saving. You say, wait a minute, I do that before I pay off all my bills. Shouldn't I pay off all my bills first? No. If you wait till you pay off all your bills first, you will never save and you will never tithe. Now, you need God's help, so you want to do it God's way. I remember one of the best known, most successful business leaders in Southern California once told me, he said, Rick, you need to tell people the best time to start tithing is when they're in debt. I said, why? He said, because that's when they need the most help. Whatever you want God to bless in your life, you put him first in. You want God to bless your business? Put him first in your business. You want God to bless your marriage? Put him first in your marriage. You want God to bless your family? Put him first in your family. You want God to bless your finances? Put him first in your finances. You want God to bless your time? Put him first in your time. Whatever you put God first in, that's what he blesses. Seek first the kingdom of God, and he says, and all these other things will be added to you. So you say right off the top, God, I'm going to tithe and I'm going to save. And I'm going to figure out how to live on less so I can do that. John D. Rockefeller was the Bill Gates of his day. He was the wealthiest man in the world. And he was often asked, how did you become so wealthy? And he called it the 10-10 principle. He said, I tithe 10%, I save 10%, and I lived on the rest. You say, well, I can't live on 80%. Then you're living beyond your means. You're living beyond your means. You could live on any amount if you have to. It's what you choose. Nobody's holding a gun to your head saying you have to drive that kind of car, live in that kind of house, pay those kind of bills. No, those were choices that you made. And so the Bible says, I want you to live on 80, and I want you to be able to give away, and I want you to be able to save. I start paying myself first and paying God first. And this will mean, I understand this will mean a major reorganization of your life and of your finances, and we'll help you out with that. But let me just give you some examples. Let's just say you're 25 years old. And let's say you made $15,000 a year. That's what you made. Let's say you're 25, you made $15,000 a year for the next 20 years. If you did the 10-10-80 principle, and you tied 10% and you saved 10% and you got it in an investment that got 10%, here's what you'd do. In 20 years, by age 45, you would have given over $30,000 in worship and tithes. That's investing in the future, storing up treasure in heaven. And you would have paid yourself $85,913 with compounding interest. You'd have $85,000 in the bank, even only making $15,000 a year. Let me give you another example. Let's say you adopted the 10-10-80 principle at age 35. And let's say you make $30,000 a year. And that's what you make for the next 20 years. If you did the 10-10-80 principle, and you invested it, and you got the compounding interest, it says by age 55, you'll have given $60,000 to the Lord's work, you know, and that's stored up treasure in heaven, and your investment fund will have grown to $171,000 in the bank at $30,000 a year income. Let me just give you another example. Let's say your family income, you and your wife work together, your family income is $60,000 a year. And let's say you started this plan at age 40. Well, in the next 20 years, by age 60, you would have given $120,000 to God's purposes in the world, and you would still have $345,000 set aside in your investment fund, in your savings. Folks, this works. There are enormous payoffs. I started doing this when I was 17 years old. And if I made 50 bucks, $5 went to the Lord and $5 went into savings. I commit to becoming debt-free. I start paying myself and God first. Great payoffs. The Bible says this, the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your lives. Number three, this is a very important principle. Number three, list all I own, owe, and earn. That's the third step to financial freedom. Make a list of all that I own, all that I owe, and all that I earn. This is keeping good records. It's the principle of accounting. It's knowing where your money is, where it's going, where it's coming from. And the Bible says this, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. That means you're wise and you're knowledgeable. You understand where your money's coming from. People say money talks. It doesn't talk. It just walks away quietly. And you get to the end of the month and go, where'd that go? Wait a minute, we had all this money. Yeah, it's in the morning. Where'd all our money go? If you have ever said that question, where did it all go? It means one thing. You're not keeping a budget. A budget is telling your money where you want it to go rather than wondering where it went. A budget is simply planned spending. It's planning your spending. And you spell financial relief, B-U-D-G-E-T. If you don't have a budget, you're coming to the end of the month, you go, where did it all go? But if you have a budget, you're saying, I want this to go here, and I want this to go here, and I want this to go here. And it's making your money work for you instead of having you just work for your money. Now, why is this principle of keeping good records and knowing what you owe and knowing what you earn and knowing what you own and having good records, why is it important? Because ignorance plus easy credit equals disaster. It's a disaster. And so the Bible says this. Look at this. These are here on the screen. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:23, get the facts at any price. And look at this next verse. The Bible says it's stupid to decide before knowing the facts. It's stupid to decide before knowing the facts. When you go into a store at Christmas time, don't take a credit card with you. Not in this economy. Don't take a credit card. If you don't know whether you can afford it or not, you're already in trouble. It's stupid to decide before knowing the facts. You say, well, I just need to buy this. Well, you don't even know if you can afford it or not. The Bible says that's dumb. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 24, verse 3, any enterprise is built by wise planning, becomes strong through common sense, and profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. You need to list all you own, all you owe, and all you earn. Number four, once you've done that, the fourth step in moving to financial freedom is have a sale. Have a sale. You need to get rid of some of your stuff. And if you are stuck in the debt trap, you need to look at some of the stuff that you need to convert to cash. In fact, let me just say this. You need to have a sale this week if you are paying rent on a storage container. You are renting space for stuff you're not even using. I hate if we have any owners of storage container centers here. I apologize. But the truth is, when you've got so much stuff it won't even fit in your house, you got a problem. And you're paying rent just to keep stuff. You need to have a sale. And you ought to look around your house. If you're in debt and you can't save and you can't tithe and you can't pay your taxes and you're living on credit and all these things, you need to go and say, what can we get rid of?
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now, if you'd like a copy of today's message, including portions we didn't have time for, or you'd like to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional, just go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle. You'll find this message and others along with more helpful resources. What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, Rick, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. Do you want to break free? Here's how. In the book God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. Now, we'd love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Just call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the book God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks so much. Now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, I love reading letters that I get from you, and I want to just read one that made my day just recently. It said this, "Dear Pastor Rick and to all who make Daily Hope possible, I'm a college student in San Diego, and I just want to thank you for all you've done through Daily Hope and through your teaching. I've learned so much, and your broadcasts have truly strengthened my faith and my relationship to God. You're such an able channel of God's Word toward me exactly when I need it. In every broadcast, I feel like God's speaking directly to me." Yeah, do you ever feel like that? That's because God's Word applies to each of our hearts. And then he says, "Enclosed is my tax refund. I was thinking about buying some new running shoes, but mile for mile, I know you'll go further with it than I will. It's not much, but I know you and God can do great things with what I give. Thanks again for everything. God bless, Cameron." Wow, that's great, Cameron. God bless you. I'm super excited when people like you, young adults, are eager to learn God's Word and also to support God's kingdom work. Now, this young guy is giving his tax refund to support Daily Hope so we can continue to reach more people with the hope of Christ. That is faith. Cameron, I just want to say to you personally, I'm sure that God's going to richly bless you for your example to others, and because of your priorities and because of your generosity, and thank you so much. Thanks for listening today, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, please write him at rick@pastorrick.com. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.